today as we come to the table.
He was a beautiful jewel being that had instruments built into him, that had great wisdom and beauty and perfect, and just walked around and was like, wow, man, Lucifer, you are just it. And just the beauty coming out of that worship and the praise and the angels. He probably led glorious times before the throne and God and just this amazing thing in heaven. Try to imagine. He says, you were the anointed cherub who covers. We don't know what that means, but what is it? I don't know. We know there were cherubim underneath the throne of God around it. Maybe Satan was hovering above God in the back, kind of leading everyone. And the one they all looked up to and said, wow, he covers. Not quite sure what it means. But the other angels saw him as exalted, and that's why they followed him.
Do you say that people in our culture worship? It may be the political leaders whom they believe will make our country better. Maybe it's the technologists who are making our lives easier. A lot of people worship movie stars or rock stars or star athletes. Some just worship their own prosperity and popularity. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark describes an incredibly glorious creation of God. Surely, this being would be happy to be in the place God had put him. But no, Satan wasn't satisfied. He wanted equality with God. You might want to thank God that he didn't make you more awesome than you are. It might not have turned out much better. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Now he begins to talk about Satan. Again, we're going to see very clearly he's talking about Satan. And there's two places really where we get a description of Satan. Here in Isaiah 14 and also in Ezekiel 28, we're going to turn there and read that here in just a moment. But I want to start looking at this. And notice as he begins to talk about Lucifer and all this that happened, what he says about him. Look at verse 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Isn't that interesting? It's the same usage, almost like morning star. Now, what you're going to notice, and what I'm noticing over the years when I see how the Bible describes Satan and I watch what Satan's going to do, Jesus is the bright and morning star. Jesus is the exalted one. Jesus is the name above all names. Jesus is equal with the Father. He's like God. He is God. They're one and the same, right? And Satan's desire was to be that. He wants to take Jesus's place. He wanted to take Jesus's place. He wants to be the one that's ruling. That's why we're going to see. He says, I'm going to exalt. I'm going to do all these things. And God says, oh, no, you're not. You're created. By the way, Satan is not equal with God. He is not equal at all. He is a created being. Your model car cannot overtake you, right? You created it or whatever, you've made. So don't have that image in your mind. He might be the greatest among the angels. He might be greater than man and without God's power over us down here, but he's a created being. He's not equal to God, but he desired to be. And so as we see this description, again, you're going to see him trying to be like Jesus, trying to be like God. As a matter of fact, in Revelation, remember he's the Antichrist. He possesses the Antichrist. He moves through the Antichrist, if you will. Anti means instead of. So this guy that's going to be the Antichrist is going to be the instead of Christ. He wants to take Christ's place. Why? Because he's got the spirit of Satan working in him. He wants to take Jesus' place. And there's even going to be a fake death and resurrection of the Antichrist. I was thinking about the Lord's death and resurrection. He stands alone from all other religions and all that. But he's the only one that ever said, I'm going to die and resurrect, and then did it. Now, others resurrected, but they didn't self-resurrect. Jesus resurrected them. He's the only one that died and resurrected and said he was going to do it. Nobody else has done that. You see, Satan hates that. He wants to be that. So what's he going to imitate? He can't create life. So somehow he's going to fake it. The Antichrist will seem to die, it would appear. It's going to make his right eye blind, his right arm wither, it tells us in one of the prophets. And then he's going to seemingly rise from the dead. And the world's going to go, now there's two. There's two that have died and risen from the dead, Jesus and our Savior, the Antichrist. And I think it's going to be right after that when he stands up and says, I am God. In the temple in Jerusalem, there at the 3.5 year point, worship me, and the world will worship him, because just like Jesus, he died and resurrected. So notice the language here. O Lucifer, son of the morning, like the morning star, how you are cut down to the ground. You who weakened the nations, for you said in your heart, you know, God hears the heart and God heard what he said. Look at that. Again, I've pointed out before, I won't overemphasize it, but notice all the eyes in this. It's all about him. It's all about Satan. And by the way, whenever we have our focus only on ourselves and we're self-focused, what's that the spirit of? And by the way, for all of us that, if God's given you some ability to be in front of people, or you just desire to kind of have adoration from people, I want to be the star. I want to be the one that, wow, what a teaching. Oh, wow, what worship tonight. Oh, wow, God used you. Listen, I get all that as far as encouragement and whatever, this kind of thing. But if we start desiring that, or if we desire that, I want to teach because I want to stand in front of people. Watch out. If you want to be a teacher because you want to be in front of people, there's a problem. You should want to teach because you realize I've been called to do it. And this is what I'm, and it's like Paul said, woe is me if I don't. If you want to be in worship because you want to be in front of the people, hit the chord, you know, the slide to the front and throw the pick. You shouldn't be on the worship team. Because where's that spirit coming from? I want the glory. Everybody look at me. Everybody look at me. This is the spirit of Satan here. And notice what he does. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. That's the highest place. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Yeah, there's the literal stars, but he puts it in reference here, the stars of God. Who's he talking about? In the Old Testament, the stars are spoken of as the angels. See, here's, God is the God of the angels. Jesus is over the angels. And here's the thing that's wild. The Bible says when we get translated into our new body and move into the kingdom, guess who else is going to be over the angels? Who's going to be over the stars of God in the kingdom? You. You. The Bible says we will be over the angels after we loop. Now the angels are over us. But when we get our new bodies and we move into the kingdom, we will be over the angels. Can you imagine Satan in heaven knowing God's plan? What? I'm the greatest angel. They're going to follow me, and I want to be like God. And you're going to take dirt and breathe into it and make it greater than me? No. No, I can't let that happen. And he began to go, I will rule over not only man, I'm going to rule over the angels in heaven. I'm going to rule over the stars. I'm going to be like God. How deceived he was. So deceived. I mean, the mere thought that we were going to be over him and him being such a glorious creation, more than he could handle. Again, you see his heart here. I will exalt above the stars even of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. I'm going to be over the people, us, on the farthest sides of the north. The Bible says God's throne is in the north. So he says, I'm going to be at the farthest sides. I'll be at the highest place, is what he's saying. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Notice he didn't say I'll be greater than, because he realized even in his deception, nobody can be greater than God. So his goal is to be like him. And Jesus is like the Father because they're equal. He wanted to be the morning star. He wants to take Jesus' place. That's why he's going to move in that spirit in the Antichrist. That's why he's going to fake resurrection, die. He wants to be the one seated on the throne. All the things that the Father is giving to the Son, he wanted to take. I will be like the Most High. You shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. You know, he's making all these boasts, and all of a sudden you see God interrupting. No, you're going to be brought down to the lowest depth of the pit. Those who see you while you're down there, Satan, will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the whole earth tremble, who shook kingdoms? They were afraid of you. Look at you. You're nothing. You deceived yourself. It's going to get interesting, too, to see how he deceived himself, because we see even we as mankind, we fall into the same trap in these things. You know, you shook the world. You were making people make these huge decisions. You're the one that started forming the World Economic Forum. You're the one that did the World Government Summit. You're the one that put together the One World Government and the One World this and the One World that and started. You're the one that did all that. And look at you. who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners. In other words, you didn't let the people out. You wouldn't have cared about those that were locked down there with you. You didn't care about them. Jesus descended and opened the door to the prisoners. That is the believers that were being held until he died on the cross. Whole nother teaching, but either way, the context. All the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, everyone in his own house. That is, they got a proper burial. He says, but you are cast out of your grave. You have to understand, remember, in this culture, not to be buried was considered a curse, which means in heaven it would have been the same thing. He's saying to Satan, you're not even going to get a proper anything. There's not going to be any honor for you at all. You're just going to be done. Like an abominable branch. Like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with the sword, who go down to the stones of the pit, like a corpse trodden underfoot. No respect, walking on the dead. How disrespectful. That's what you're going to be like, Satan. You will not be joined with them in burial, because you have destroyed your land and slain your people. The brood of evildoers shall never be named. Prepare slaughter for his children. Prepare iniquity of their fathers, lest they rise up and possess the land and fill the face of the world with cities. Again, what is another place it talks about? I want to jump now. And again, you guys, you can jump with me. Maybe put one of your Bible marker. You know, if you got one, a spare one, you can put there where we are now. And turn over to Ezekiel chapter 28. Because I want to see the other place it talks about Lucifer in here and Satan. So you get the full picture of who he was, what he said, how this all happened. And in Ezekiel chapter 28, starting in verse 11. Now don't be confused by this. He talks about the king of Tyre. And yes, he was talking to the king of Tyre, but he's also talking about the spiritual king that's behind and above the king of Tyre. Remember, we talked about the different spirits, the regional spirits that are around the earth. We see that in Daniel, the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece. He refers now to Satan here as he's rebuking the king of Tyre in his day. He now shows who's really behind what the king of Tyre is doing, and it's Satan himself. And so he talks to the king of Tyre, but he suddenly shifts it going, you're the real king doing this, and I'm going to talk to you, Satan. Look at verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, this speaking to Ezekiel the prophet, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God. And you'll see very quickly why we know he's talking directly to Satan. You are the seal of perfection. There's no man except Jesus that was the seal of perfection. So we, line one, we know he's talking about a supernatural being, and we're going to see he's talking about Satan. Now look at the description of Satan. You see why he got so prideful and fell. You were the seal of perfection. I mean, he was perfect, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Even the other angels would have said, oh my goodness, man, look at Lucifer. I mean, the wisdom that he has, that God has given him. I mean, the beauty, the perfection. He's just astounding to look at it. And he can sing and lead worship for God and the angels. You were in Eden. Now, again, who was in Eden? Adam and Eve and Satan, right? You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Think about it. On his body. Apparently, his body is made up of jewels. Beautiful stones that in the light of God must have radiated this glory, right? Evil can sometimes look beautiful. And the only way we're going to know is the word of God. Don't be deceived by beauty. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, sapphire, turquoise, emerald with gold. And these are heavenly jewels, not earthly. Heavenly, non-fallen heavenly jewels. Look at this, just how we know he was a worship leader or was involved in worship. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. Two things to note, he's created, he's not equal with God, but look at this, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes. He was a beautiful jewel being that had instruments built into him that had great wisdom and beauty and perfect and just walked around and was like, wow, man, Lucifer, you are just it. And just the beauty coming out of that worship and the praise and the angels. He probably led glorious times before the throne in God and just this amazing thing in heaven. Try to imagine. He says, you were the anointed cherub who covers. We don't know what that means, but what is it? I don't know. We know there were cherubim underneath the throne of God around it. Maybe Satan was hovering above God in the back, kind of leading everyone. And the one they all looked up to and said, wow, he covers. Not quite sure what it means. But the other angels saw him as exalted, and that's why they followed him. And he obviously was so amazing, they thought he could actually take God. Amazing. I established you. You were on the holy mountain. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. So the glory of heaven, all the jewels and glory of heaven, the things that were just, you were walking back and forth and you had that privilege and that place of honor. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. And by the abundance of your trading, it's interesting here, he's kind of doing a little double entendre, that may be the wrong word, but a double thing going on here. And that is, he now kind of makes a reference to some of the trading, probably some of the wicked things and stuff that the true king of Tyre, the man on earth, was doing. But the word trading here, literally in the language, it means gossip and slander. Now think about this. He says, by the abundance of your gossip and slander, you became filled from violence within and you sinned. This gives us a picture of what he was doing in heaven with the other angels. Hey, God isn't really that, I'm as great as God. He's not the only one that can rule, you know. Follow me. And the gossip and slander that Satan, now you see the work of Satan within the world today in gossip and slander. You see it within the church sometimes, right? It's that same spirit. He slanders the brethren. He gossips about the believers. He did the same thing in heaven. He was slandering the congregation of heaven, the angels. Really slandering God is what he was doing. He says, therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. And I destroyed you, O covering cherub, in the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up. Notice this. Why? Because of your beauty. Isn't that something today? People that are, it's very hard for people that are really, really handsome or beautiful. There's a real danger of pride. Now, you see a lot of people that are very attractive that aren't prideful at all. They're very humble. But a lot of times, if you're gifted with great beauty, as some of you girls may, I wish I looked as beautiful as so-and-so. Some of you guys, I wish I was as handsome as so-and-so, right? In the kingdom, you may look back and go, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you made me look like Mark. And not, you know, Tom Selleck or Tom Brady or whatever. Why? Because what if we couldn't handle it? What if everyone had told us how handsome we were? How beautiful. Everyone desired us. What would have happened? I was talking to Terry and he was asking me, he said, so you did some music or whatever. I saw you trust us in Nashville. And I said, yeah, I did. I said, but I got there and found out how there were guys on the street corner better than I was. And it was very humbling, very fast. And I said, I thank God that I wasn't good enough to make it. Because the adoration of the world's enjoyable. And if there'd have been enough talent there to do something, what if I'd have enjoyed that so much I'd have never come to Christ? So God gave me just enough to lead some worship. And said, now, this will keep you humble, you know. Listen, don't ever feel bad about your lack of talent or looks or whatever else. It may be the greatest gift God ever gave you. And you're not going to know till heaven. Because God's going to say, now, if I'd have given you the body you wanted or the face you wanted or the talent you wanted, you wouldn't be here with me right now. Really? Yeah, you wouldn't have made it. Thank you. I'm going to say, Lord, thank you, Lord, that I wasn't handsome. You know, whatever. Thank you, Lord, that I wasn't that good. Thank you, Lord. See, the world will exalt it. And God says, I've spared you because I love you. And now you are beautiful because you're in the kingdom in a new body in glory. So don't worry, you're going to get the body and the looks you want one day. And by then you'll be able to handle it because you'll be humble by the Spirit of the Lord. You were lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that will gaze at you. You defiled my sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading, your gossip and slander. Therefore I brought fire from your midst and it devoured you. And I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you, Jesus. And I saw Satan thrown from heaven like lightning. And we'll see him thrown down once we get in the spirit as well. All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You become a horror and shall be no more forever. So you're going to be done. That's it. You're finished. The spirit of Satan is the same thing he told Adam and Eve in the garden. I will be like God. What did Satan tell Adam and Eve? You can be like God. He said, no, he doesn't want you to know this because you can be like God, right? That's the voice of Satan. There's a professor, maybe you've heard of him, Yuval Noah Harari. Some of you have heard of him. He is kind of like what they call him, the prophet of the World Economic Forum and the World Government Summit. Everybody looks to him as their spokesman and the one that has all the wisdom and the one that, whatever the case might be, they see him as this great leader. He literally, the voice of Satan speaks to this man. It's unbelievable. It's the voice of Satan coming right out of this man. It's straight out of the Bible. It is demonic. He's a professor, a Jewish professor there in Israel. This guy, he is the spokesman, if you will, kind of the spokesman for, again, all these movements that are happening in the world today that are trying to be a part of the world today. Go look him up. You've already got his name, and I want you to go look him up. He literally says, and if you go to his website, it says, at the beginning of history, man started out looking to God, and now man is becoming God. And he says himself in all these videos that he does, he's saying, we're now advancing to the next level. His whole idea is, it's not his wording, but his idea is we're moving to the next level of evolution, mankind is, and now we will be gods. We're going to be like God. We're going to be gods ourselves. It's the voice of Satan. It's the very thing that God threw Satan out of heaven for is now happening. And why did I bring that up? Because I want you to realize this is the one that the world leaders, they're looking to him right now as their leader. Now, again, it's interesting that he is Jewish. It's interesting that he's speaking just like the Antichrist and the voice of Satan. I don't think that he is the Antichrist, but it's going to be the same voice coming from the Antichrist that comes from this Yuval Noah Harari. Again, if you get a chance to go back and look him up, Yuval is Y-U-V-A-L. Y-U-V-A-L. Noah's pretty easy. And Harari, H-A-R-A-R-I. And you'll get to see some of these things. This guy, he talks about mankind now evolving to the next level. Becoming, you know, transhumanism. You're becoming part machine, part man, becoming a god. And when that happens, all the useless people are going to have to be done away with. And those that are the elite will now be exalted to ruling the earth and moving to this next level of evolution, and we can be gods. It is the very same gossip and slander against God in heaven and the very same voice coming through this Noah Harari that came through Satan at that time. And you're going to see more of that. You're going to hear more of him, so I know you'll hear of him. But realize, guys, we're headed down the path. All the stuff that God talked about Satan doing, he's going to be doing through the Antichrist. And the Bible says he's going to be doing everything he can and throwing everything he can at the world because he knows that his time is short. So is the world getting worse? Yes. Will things continue to get worse? Here's the bad news. Yes. But even like a woman in birth pangs, you've got to go through the contractions to have the joy of the new birth of the kingdom. And so we're going to go through some contractions. We're going to go through some mankind wrath, some satanic wrath, whatever level that'll be to get to that. But I do believe before it gets into God's wrath, we'll be taken out of here because we're promised not to experience it. And then we're going to be in the kingdom watching it from the expensive seats as God deals with the earth and deals with the nation of Israel for the final 7 years. But let's pray and ask God to bless the teaching of his word. Lord, your word's so amazing, God. Thank you for showing us, Lord, behind the curtain of heaven, showing us what happened and what's happening and what's going to happen. And Lord, then ministering to our hearts, God, even in these prophecies, you've spoken to us. You've encouraged us. You've built us up, God. You've ministered to us. You've shown yourself to us. You alone are the bright and morning star. You alone are like God. You are God. You're not like God. You are God. You and the Father are alike. But you're God Almighty, the creator of all things, and you alone will we bow down to. You alone are the one we worship and adore.
You've been listening to Come to the Table, a ministry of Pastor Mark Kirk at Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark is continuing a verse-by-verse study of the book of Isaiah. While this book is full of warnings for the wicked kings of Israel and Judah, it also provides hope by describing the coming of a figure known as Emmanuel. This future ruler is said to come from the line of David and will make right all that has gone wrong in the nation of Israel. You and I know this Emmanuel as the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible teaches us that he's coming back soon to establish a new kingdom on this earth where there will be no more suffering, no more tears, and no more death. The pain and conflict of this world will melt away and be replaced by a new and glorious Jerusalem. Now, if you've recently accepted Jesus' gift of salvation, we'd love to get connected with you and help you get started on your journey of following Christ. You can give us a phone call at 865-609-1385. Once again, that number is 865-609-1385. You can also visit our website at thewaymedia.net. click on Come to the Table, and then click on the Questions and Comments tab. On our website, you'll also find a link to the Way Media app, which is where you can listen to live programming on the go, or you can access past broadcasts from Pastor Mark. Well, we're running out of time for today. We hope that this study in the book of Isaiah has blessed you today. Be sure to join us again next time for another edition of Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.